What's good, everybody? Y'all already know what time it is. If you just waking up, go in the kitchen and get your ass a grilled cheese sandwich, because y'all know what it's time for. It's time for another installment of the Grilled Cheese Podcast. And with me today, I got my good friend over here, my nigga, player pimp the player, Mr. Mel over here in the building. You want to make some noise for yourself?
What's going on, y'all?
All right, so y'all already know how this go. We're going to play a game. We're going to go over some topics and questions, all right? And then at the end of the podcast, I'll give Mr. Mel over here some time to talk about whatever he wants to talk about or any type of discussion he wants to bring up. That's going to be that time. All right. Now, the game we're going to play today is that good old, I hit y'all with that old school, though, that Connect Four right there in the building, that Connect Four. And we got the Mario and Luigi edition, which half the stickers and came off. But fuck it, we're gonna do it anyway. Alright, and usually whenever I have a guest, I'll let them start the game off first. So you can go ahead and jump yours down there.
I got you. So we're playing with Mario. Mm-hmm.
Alright. First topic of discussion, I've been coming across some very interesting relationship memes and stuff lately, and mostly involving around marriage proposals. Now, some of y'all probably have seen this one video that's been circulating about this one guy who proposed to his girl in front of everybody, like on the main street somewhere, and she had the nerve to say no in front of everybody and on live video. Now, just by seeing that video, it made me think about another post I had seen recently where it says, if you propose somebody and they say no, something like, does their relationship stay the same or will y'all still be together after that? And honestly, there's really no fixing that, cuz, like, you have to kind of think that you kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? You kind of rushed the whole situation. And now, well, it's both people's fault, really, on the end, because that person, the man whoever proposed, they could have, like, discussed it with their mate or whatever if they had the same feel. And she's wrong in a way for just embarrassing that man in front of everybody like that. So, man, what is your take on that whole video there?
Well, my stance on that, I think if we talking about the same video, I think my stance on it, I kind of got two different opinions on that matter.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the person that proposes, cause I'm gonna say person that proposes, because you know it's 2019, women propose to men now. You know,
yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Equal opportunity and all that good stuff. Gotcha.
God damn. he got me the first round of Connect Four.
But like I was saying, for the person that proposes, I feel like, first of all, you can't just be proposing to people out of the blue.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta have some type of conversation with your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
In order to know if that's something that they're even interested in the first place. A lot of people just like being in relationships with people, but don't necessarily want to get married. It could
right.
be somebody that's already been married and they've been through the divorce process and they just don't want to go through that again. Or
mm-hmm.
somebody that's still trying to live their best life and they just out there dating, trying to see what's on, you know what I mean, what more life has to offer for them. So first of all, you want to make sure that the person that you're proposing to wants to get married.
True,
you know,
true.
It's almost kind of like you got to propose to them before you propose to them. So you got to bring up the conversation. You got to see if they actually want to get married, if marriage is something that they are interested in, if they're interested enough in you to want to get married to you. You know what I'm saying? What's the living situation going to be like? Do you even know their ring size before you go out and buy this $5,000 engagement ring? You know what I mean? These are the questions you got to ask yourself. So I feel like for the person that's proposing, you got to know that the person that you want to marry is going to say yes.
Yeah.
That way you know what I'm saying, you avoid that whole awkward situation altogether.
Yes.
And then it goes back to the person that you're proposing to.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a little bit of etiquette involved on their part, because a lot of people are into this thing where they make public proposals.
Right.
You know what I mean? You propose to somebody in a train station, or you propose to somebody at a dinner, or mm-hmm. wherever the case may be, and you don't want to embarrass that person in public because you might not necessarily want to marry them at the moment, but you might still want to be with them. You know what I'm saying? You might still have feelings for them. So I feel like if you get proposed to in public, if you're the person that's getting proposed to, you should at least say yes in public. But then behind closed doors, you can be like, okay, I'm not really trying to marry you right now. We not at that place, this, that, and the third. That way you can at least spare that person's feelings of public humiliation.
Right, just saying that it reminds me of that one episode on that show, The Game, where Darren proposed to Melody in front of the whole football stadium. She said yes in the stands, but said no in the car. So that's like a very good point, because again, you can go through all this trouble trying to propose to your significant other or whatever, and once that shit backfire, you can't really get mad, because like, you have to kind of put yourself in their shoes of like, okay, well, if I was this person in this situation, how would I feel about that? So, honestly, like you made a very good point. Y'all both got to be on the same exact terms before y'all make any kind of move. So, with that being said, if you know you're not ready, but the other person has different views about that, y'all should definitely talk about that in midst in relationships, so that way, If you can kind of sense how that person is kind of leaning towards the marriage side, but certain sides you can tell what they're doing, you can kind of break that barrier instantly before it gets too far. So that way, y'all can both avoid this heartbreak, and this dude can avoid being left there with the IAS face. So.
Also, I want to say, brother, just because a marriage proposal gets turned down, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the world. But it's the end for you, cuz.
Yeah, it was at that moment I knew I fucked up right there. I just seen the move out, man. Like, well, it was at that moment I knew I fucked up.
I'm good at Connect Four, bro. I can't. What else can I say? But, a failed marriage proposal is not the end of the world. Just because somebody says no initially doesn't mean that they don't necessarily want to marry you eventually. It might just be the wrong time, the wrong circumstances, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're one of those people that falls in love fast and you try to propose to somebody, you know what I mean, 6 months or a year into your relationship, and they might not be at that place right then and there. They might want to get to know you a little better. They might want to spend a little more time with you. They might want to move in with you first. Whatever the case may be, that person just might need a little bit more time. They might want to marry you eventually. It's just not right now. So a marriage proposal doesn't mean the end of the world. It doesn't mean that y'all have to break up. It doesn't mean that y'all have to move out. It doesn't mean that you have to move on. You know what I mean? Sometimes if you feel like the love is really there, you know what I'm saying, you stick around after that failed marriage proposal. You come up with a different game plan, you know what I'm saying? And you keep the relationship going, you keep the feelings and stuff going, and then maybe one day you'll get there.
Yeah, and as the saying goes, if you don't succeed, try again. So ain't nothing wrong with that. Like sometimes you gotta fail so many times to finally get one victory. So if that means you feel like you gotta go through 28 different marriage proposals before you get a yes, then by all means do that. But also be smart about it too. Don't just be, you know, you met this girl one day and you're talking about marriage instantly like that. But just make sure y'all all on the same page.
Pretty much. At the end of the day, brother, it's all about communication.
Communication is key. If y'all don't have communication, you ain't got shit, player pimp. But speaking of marriages, it's amazing how money in marriage can affect somebody, because it was this one story I came across where this woman won the lottery in California. I forgot how much the amount was. I know it was like probably at least over a couple million or whatever. And she decides that she wants to divorce her husband right after she gets that money. So with that situation there, she was being petty in a whole lot of ways. Because for one, why would you hide that from your man? Y'all supposed to be a unit. Y'all supposed to be together in y'all midst of things. That is something you really don't want to play with. Now, only way I can see her doing this is because if you already know that he's bad with money regardless, then I can kind of see her point, but not fully see her side, I would guess. But yeah, so she decides to divorce her man right after she gets that money. But the judge decided that the husband gets the entire earning of it, and she ain't got a single damn dime. So, Well, what is your take on that story?
I mean, I feel like she just tried to pull the okie doke on her husband. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of layers to it. You know, so you never know. The marriage might have been failing. You know what I'm saying? There might have been some infidelity or some other things going on to the point where she felt like she just came into this money and she's gonna start her life over without
it. Yeah, because I was.
So there's some other things involved, but I would say that the pettiest person in this situation is the judge. But the judge looked at it, you know, so I'm pretty sure there weren't any prenups involved or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said, okay, so you just gonna leave this man after you come into all of this money and you think you just gonna take it and run? Nah, I got something for you.
You thought you was getting all this money. You thought wrong too. And like, ooh, I'm sorry. I just feel sorry for her the most because, like, you just got that money. And, like, the fact you know someone else has it but you and you try to be sneaky about it, I'm like, damn, this could have been you, though. It could have been you that had that money. But that's the thing, though, like, winning the lottery, if only people can, like, be sneaky about it in their own way, some can and some succeed by doing that. But it's always a loophole somewhere. Because just like, it takes me back to that one story with that woman who won that money in North Carolina. And she spent mostly half of it on her man. And then her judge tried to dupe her for that money. Not her judge, but her pastor tried to dupe her for that money. And like, honestly, I'm thinking about the whole story. Yeah, damn.
You
stupid.
Them diagonals, baby. Them diagonals messing you up.
Yeah, I keep slipping up on that one side, too. But, yeah, so she comes into all this lottery money, and then on top of that, she spent the majority of that money on her man. Now, she did do the smart thing, you know, moved out the hood. She made it out the hood. And, you know, got a better house for her family. You know, that's logical. But if you already dealing with an ain't shit ass nigga, as much y'all females will call us, then he shouldn't have got a single dime of that money to help him out at all. Because, like, unless he was fully determined to change his life after he gets out of jail, otherwise he should have stayed in that bitch, honestly. But with her situation, she couldn't even be sneaky about it, even if she tried, because it was like one point she was trying to make a donation to her church, I think, because she'd been going to that church for years. She tried to make a donation about it. Was trying to make a donation, but she couldn't be sneaky about it because apparently there's this North Carolina law where if you're trying to make a donation that big, you have to let somebody know about it. Or where the money came from. So, honestly, that's some bullshit to me because I don't give a damn how much I won. I would not let nobody know a single dime. I'm sorry, because that's just me. And learn. See, thing about that is, after you're watching that movie, Lottery Ticket, you learn a lot about keeping shit to yourself. So, that's exactly why, if anyone, like, if you're smart, I would not tell anybody you want, not even like your close family member, because you might have that one family member that likes to blab all your business to everybody, and that can cause you to get fucked up in the long run.
I'll have that one.
And it's like, she's made some dumb purchases because, for one, I don't care what nobody say, if you just won the lottery, I would not quit your job yet. Because you never know how long that money is going to last you after they take taxes out of it. And so you're not even getting the full amount you're supposed to have won. God damn.
I got you either way.
That lets y'all know I ain't playing Connect 4 in a while. I'm getting scraped like a motherfucker over here.
Full disclosure, I've been playing a little bit of games with my nephews. Especially the ones that just moved back around. So we've been playing a little Connect 4. We've been playing some Moncala, all that good stuff. So I can't prepare it.
But, yeah. Okay. On the real. Now, if you won the lottery, would you tell anybody? Or would you leave your mate for it? Like, for how much ever money you won?
Unfortunately, like you said, we live in North Carolina, so if I won the lottery, everybody would know. But if I lived in one of those states where you could remain anonymous,
mm-hmm.
if I won the lottery, the only people I would honestly tell is my immediate family, because I feel like those would be the only people I know that I know that, you know what I'm saying, would even matter. Mm-hmm. Those would be the people that the money would affect in the long run. You know what I'm saying? Like true. My mother, my sisters, my father. Because if I won a significant amount of money, you know what I mean? A few million dollars, a few tens of million dollars, life-changing money. Mm-hmm. I would change their lives as well for the better. You know what I'm saying? I'd move us out somewhere where we could live comfortably so that my nephews and, you know what I'm saying, they could go to good schools and get them a proper education and stuff like that. But right. I'd want to come back and do something for my community that I grew up in. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn. I'd want to go back to my old neighborhood, make sure, you know what I mean, things mm-hmm. around there look nice. I grew up down here in North Carolina for a while. I'd come back around to make sure that my community around here looks well. But for the most part, I'd only let my immediate family know. You know what I'm saying? And as far as work and everything else goes, like, I tell people all the time at work, like, if I was to ever hit the lottery for one of these outrageous amounts of money, like hit the Mega Millions or $600 million mm-hmm. or something like that, I wouldn't tell a soul. I come to work, I clock in, work my time every day, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I go ahead and tell them I found me a new job, and I put in my 2 weeks notice. Mm-hmm. And then I disappear off the face of earth. Only my real friends and family would know where I'm at. They know how to reach me, anything like that. Other than that, I wouldn't tell a soul, brother.
Yeah, because, again, like, if anything, the movie Lottery Ticket will teach you a lot about what it means winning the lottery. Because old boy Kev went through a lot of shit in just 3 days trying to keep one amount to himself, really. And that alone was hard for him to do. But, you know what? I'm gonna let y'all, the audience, decide. If y'all ever won that money, any kind of, like, big lottery earning, would you leave your spouse for it, or would you let anybody in your family know about it? I'm gonna let y'all think about that for a minute. And if you know what you would have done, hit me up in my Instagram DMs at Another Black Comedian, and I'll respond to you as well. Next on the line, people in Florida are really wilding out here. Really wilding out here. It's just. Florida has made more headlines in a month than any other state. It's like each thing they keep doing gets interesting every time. It just, matter of fact, I came across this one story recently where this one girl recently just bit off her boyfriend's thumb and just left it on the floor. I'm like, wait a minute. My only question is, how bad did this argument have to get for your thumb to get bit off? And two, did you fight back at all? Like, this, did you at least try to pull your finger out? This, because, like, okay, one thing that kind of gets me with some females is that some of y'all think y'all can't be touched if y'all put your hands on a nigga. Now, again, some people, some niggas will hold off as much as they can. They will hold back enough. Keyword, enough. But you hit that right trigger point and your ass get caught with a shoryuken. Do not come crying to me. Oh, I know I just got set the fuck up. I know I just did. I just knew I got set the fuck up right there. Unless y'all know, I need to brush up on my Connect Four skills right now. I'm getting scraped real bad. Real bad. And that happens. Life happens. You get scraped. That's it. But yeah, see, relationships like that, that's very toxic, I would say. I wonder who has held back the most in that relationship, the man or the woman. Because in my opinion, I think they both might have been holding this in for a while. But that girl has probably been thinking about biting this nigga finger for a minute. He's like, I just want him to say the wrong thing so I can bite his shit off. Well, honestly, luckily, it was his finger and not his other part. That's all I'm saying. At least he didn't get, like, trapped in the moment. You know, she offered to give him the head and then remember that one time and then just, At least you had your finger, bro. I mean, you ain't gonna have that thumb no more, but at least you got something else attached. Because nowadays, seem like, I ain't trying to pick on no females, but it seems like y'all are getting very creative with y'all torturing ways, I would say. Very creative now. Because you got this one, just bit her man thumb off. I don't know how it would go to that extent, but the nigga must have done something that bad for just his thumb to get bit off like that. But What is your take on that story, though, man? Right there, what is your take on it? I got to hear your opinion on it.
I will say first and foremost that I'm a big fan of The Breakfast Club. And that's what Charlotte says on The Breakfast Club, Charlamagne the God, that the craziest people come from the Bronx and all of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he can make a story every day of the week if he wanted to about somebody from Florida doing something crazy. And he does drop at least one bomb a week. He got to take Florida down a peg. Some crazy people in Florida, some crazy things going on in Florida. So I always start to say by... Just what you saying, this was a Florida situation, I know. First and foremost.
You know what I'm saying? Oh,
man. All right, my second point, I will say that I do not agree with domestic violence in any form. I don't think that a woman should put her hands on a man, especially if you assuming that because you're a woman, he's not going to hit you back. I believe mm-hmm. in, you know what I mean, equal opportunity. I believe in... Mama said knock you out. You know what I'm saying? You put your hands on me, I got my right to defend myself, whether mm-hmm. you're a man, woman, or otherwise. That being said, I don't believe that a man should put his hands on a woman. You know what I mean? Especially if he knows that he's stronger than the woman, more powerful than the woman. He can walk away. You know what I'm saying? He can leave the situation. But I don't believe in domestic violence in any form. I don't believe right. a man should put his hands on a woman. Woman should put his hands on a man. Everybody should keep their hands to themselves. I believe okay. that you grew up with poor communication skills. If every time you get mad, you want to lash out at somebody and hit them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know how to talk through a situation, if you don't know how to deal with your issues other than putting your hands on somebody. But as far as the that situation goes, I would say that is kind of a crazy situation, getting somebody's thumb bit off or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's all about communication. It's all about knowing how to deal with your anger, deal with the issues. I don't know what the dude was doing, whether the dude was cheating or right. whether it was just an abusive relationship that went south and she decided to defend herself on some, you know what I'm saying, on some Whitney Houston, what I'm talking about, Angela Bassett.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? On some What's Love Got to Do With It shit. On some Tina Turner shit, and she just finally decided to strike back.
Mm.
I don't know the full specifics of the situation, but all I do know is, like I said, everybody should keep their hands to themselves. You know what I'm saying? People need to develop their communication skills a lot better so that things like this don't happen.
Right. And you know what?
And I do believe that physical abuse is a definite red flag in a relationship. A lot of people grow up thinking because they've been whooped as a child or because they might have had abusive parents or whatever the case may be, that it's okay to be in an abusive relationship. A lot of people mm-hmm. stick around after being physically abused. And I want to be the first person to say it is not okay. If you're in an abusive relationship, you need to get out. You need to find
yourself.
You need to leave that person alone. I don't care if that person left and changed their whole life around and found God and then want to come back and be with you. Good for that person. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Good for them. Thank you for finding God. Stay away from me.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hands on me already. You know what I'm saying? If you did it once, you will most definitely do it again.
Right.
And I just lost all trust for you. I lost all hope for you after that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's physical abuse. There's a mental and emotional abuse. But physical abuse is a big key factor. That's a big red flag. You shouldn't want to be with anyone that puts their hands on you.
Mm-hmm. And for some people that are in an abusive relationship, again, some of y'all fellas that be doing that, y'all gonna push that female to that one extent where she ain't gonna take it no more. And then you'll be like, I can't remember that movie right now, but if your ass mess around and get caught in a bathtub, and if your woman decides to just like make you a bath out of nowhere, out of the kindness of her heart, supposedly, and you know you done pissed her off, hopefully there's not a radio nor a socket near that tub, because you get in there relaxed. Oh, you're gonna be relaxed, all right. But if you ever are in an abusive relationship, please get out of that immediately, or go talk to somebody to help you get out of that relationship. If you're too scared to get out on your own, just know that there is somebody there to help at all times. And it's a shame how we got like so much like that in the world. It's kind of getting worse in some ways. In some states, it's worse than others. But it's a shame how we got this much hate in the world. And speaking of hate, I came across this one story recently. I kind of wish I hadn't read it. Where this Iowa couple adopted I think it's a 2 black children, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I don't know how many said they adopted, but they just adopted black children. This was a white couple. And they purposely starved them to death. Purposely. And they're not getting any prison time. They're getting probation.
I saw something like that. I believe an Instagram friend of mine posted that on her page. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was sick.
Yeah.
I don't see why anybody would do that to children.
My only question is, God damn. My question is, like, how much of a hateful person you have to be to adopt kids out your race to just treat them poorly on purpose? Like, what was the purpose of you doing that? How you? Why would you stoop that low to just do that to anybody?
Yeah, you gotta have a different level of hate and evil in your heart to want to adopt someone out of your race, someone that you are racist against, to adopt out of your race just to destroy that child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To take away their life, to take away their livelihood, you know what I mean? To keep them from having a chance to grow up and become something successful, become something that you fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like a lot of these racist white people, or just racist people in general, if they're racist, if they're a bigot, or if they're against another race, the main reason is because they fear that that race will be successful.
Right.
They don't want to see these children grow up to become doctors, lawyers, or entertainers, or anybody influential in this world that can make a positive difference. They see stuff like that, and it reminds them in a way that that's something that they can't have. Maybe they feel like they're not smart enough to, you know what I'm saying, to go to college and get that degree that'll make them a doctor or a lawyer. Maybe they feel like they're not talented enough to, you know what I mean, have a basketball or to play an instrument or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
They fear, you know what I'm saying, they fear that this person will be more talented than them. They're envious that this person is better than them, and they want to destroy them. And I'll never understand that. I'll never understand that level of hate.
Yeah, there's like another post I came across too. It's like a story that happened like a couple months back, I think. And this one woman who's in the hospital, she burned herself with acid on purpose in the face, and then tried to blame it on a random black person.
I seen that story. I thought that was completely stupid.
Yeah. Okay. If you're a racist, okay, then that's you. But why, again, stoop that low to your level of hate to injure yourself just to do that? And honestly, okay. Any race can be racist in their own way. Because some of y'all might think black people don't be racist at times. Yes, there are some racist black people at times too. Hell, look at Uncle Ruckus on Boondocks. That nigga is racist against his own race. But honestly, if you're a racist, I honestly do not care, because that is your own opinion on that type of race. But at least stay in your own lane of racism, I guess I would say. At least stay in your own lane of it. Because there's no point of just stooping down to a level to hurt yourself to get someone else in trouble, knowing that they had no intention of doing that to you, or they don't even know you, to be exact. Again, it was just a random black person. Like, I don't even know you, so why would I burn you out of nowhere? But
it's almost like that meme that circles around the internet where the boy is riding on the bike. And he has the stick, and he sticks the stick in between the bike wheels. The bike flips over, and then he goes, "Fucking niggas."
Yeah.
Like, no one was around. You know
right.
what I mean? There wasn't any black people around. There wasn't any Hispanic people around. He did it to himself, but he wants to blame the race that he's racist against.
You know what? If there was a black person around in that video, I wonder if he was just looking at him like, really? That's what we're doing now? You know, you a cold piece of work. A cold piece of work. But yeah, it's sad how people keep thinking racism don't exist in this world now. Like, you think racism don't exist? What part of this world do you live in where it doesn't? Because shit, let us know so we can go there. But overall, again, if you feel some type of way about somebody or a certain race, that's all you. I have no judgment there. But at least just stay in your own lane and don't do nothing stupid to cause harm to yourself. Because self-harm is not going to help at all. But people will be people, I guess. And honestly, seeing that post, I was kind of not surprised in a way. I'm like, out of all things people can do against other races, that there was just a whole new low. And then on top of that, the part that made me mad is, like, they're not getting any jail time, just probation. But, like, okay, so this involved harming a child. So even though the child wasn't theirs by blood, it was still a child they told people they would take care of. But you're just getting probation. Now, whoever the adoption agency was, or, like, don't people come to their houses to check on children every now and then, the social workers?
Wellness checks, well-being checks, all that good stuff.
Right. So, I'm wondering, how long did they let that go on, and how did that go unnoticed, is my question. How did that just go unnoticed like that? Because you got, even in the neighborhood you live in, you gotta have that one nosy motherfucker in your neighborhood to know something. That knows something. But just choose to either leave that alone, or decide to stay out of it, which I understand, because sometimes there's some situations you just do not want to be involved in, and I just got set the fuck up.
Most definitely.
I just got set the fuck up. There's no way of fighting. This is no fighting.
Five in a row. Okay.
There's just no way of fighting it.
Let me jump into this conversation. I've been quiet for a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and voice my opinion.
Alright.
As far as that situation goes, I'm not surprised that they would get just probation, just because of the way that this country works, especially
right.
for people of the fairer skin, the Caucasian mm-hmm. Americans, as we could say. There have been plenty of situations where there have been Caucasian people who've been accused of rape, accused of, you know what I'm saying, harming children, accused of pedophilia, who get off with probation, who get off with zero, you know what I'm saying, zero to limited jail time simply because of the color of their skin or
right.
who they know or how much money they have. But mm-hmm. the same thing can happen to somebody of color, and they quit to lock them up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying, that's just an agenda that they have in themselves. Like, the whole, like, there's this whole insurgence now, and this whole insurgence of the, what is it, the abortion laws that they have now. They're trying to mm-hmm. keep people in these states from having abortions. And it has nothing to do with the rights of the woman. It has nothing to do with, no, I mean, it has everything to do with it, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But as far as the reason that they have this abortion ban going on, it has nothing to do with the woman. It has everything to do with the white people trying to stay in the majority, because the majority of places where they're having these abortions and, you know what I'm saying, people are getting rid of these children, it's a lot of disenfranchised or poor or even just, you know what I'm saying, white women who just don't want to have kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, if a bunch of white people are out here having abortions, that means there are not going to be a lot of white babies around, which means there's not going to be a lot of white adults around in the future, which means there are going to be a lot less white voters. They're trying to keep their control of the government and trying to keep the white population in the majority as far as votes are concerned. So black people are out here having babies now. That's why they don't care about black mothers that are out here having abortions. Mm-hmm. Or black mothers that are out here dying, you know what I mean, from childbirth, because people don't believe them when they say that they're in pain, or people don't believe them when they say that they're hurting, or it's time for them to have the baby, and they don't act like they don't believe them. No, they believe them absolutely, but they just don't want that person to have their baby. They don't want more black people in the world. They want to keep the white people in the majority. That's why they have this abortion ban going on.
Man, I never really thought about it like that, yeah, man. That's man. That just make you think right there, man.
Girl, I be thinking deep.
That just make you think right there.
I'm good at Connect Four. You know I be thinking deep.
But, shoot, that shit got me thinking for real, though, yo. Like, on the real. But, very, very good point. I never really pictured it like that, but that's a very, very good point. And
so them getting rid of those two little kids, that was just their way of, like I said, just their way of ensuring that the white people will stay in the majority and ensuring that white people will remain in power.
Mm. Well, And it also interests me that when some, I ain't gonna say some white people, some people of other races might have felt the same way, but some of them might have said, like, we all have equal rights. I'm like, if we all had equal rights, then each race would get the equal amount of jail time, regardless on what the crime was and what the race was who did that crime.
Facts.
Because if we all had equal rights, matter of fact, just like old boy in South Carolina that shot up that whole church, even though it took them about over a year just about to finally get this man a death penalty, he was almost about to walk off scot-free with this. Almost, it seemed like.
He's not even going to get into the whole situation that he was taken alive, but plenty of black people are getting killed at traffic stops.
Yeah,
so
speaking...
we're not even going to get into that, how he just murdered, you know what I'm saying, just did a mass murder of several people within a church. He's still walking around armed and dangerous, but somehow they were able to take him alive. And stop to get him something to eat.
Yeah.
Before taking him into custody. We're not going to get all into that.
But yeah, speaking of what you just said, though, about the traffic stop, I came across this one video recently where this one guy who got pulled over, one black dude got pulled over by a white cop. And I don't know what the whole situation was or why he got pulled over or how every situation happened. I'm not sure how the video started. It was this dude. The cop was trying to put him in handcuffs, and the dude just kept saying, "Why are you putting me in handcuffs? Like, what am I being arrested for? Like, you never told me what I'm being arrested for exactly." So they're kind of going back and forth with this little argument, and then he said he's waiting on backup. He says, "All right, I'll wait on your backup then." So the other white cop gets out of his car. He kind of like slams this dude to the grass hard. And, like, they both kind of, like, tag-teaming him a little bit. I'm like, yo, was this type of force even necessary? I mean, y'all didn't even, like, explain the reason why? And then, like, between the cop and the black dude, like, before his backup got there, he was saying that something like, I'm going to get you for speeding and resisting arrest. I'm like, how am I resisting arrest if I don't know what I'm being arrested for? I'm like, so he was just kind of plotting this the whole time, regardless of what the situation was. If you were trying to just pop the dude for speeding, then do that. Just give him a ticket for it. Or, again, I don't know how fast he was going. I don't know what the meter clock is. Sometimes those meters are not very accurate at times. Because, again, we know with the whole wind or blowing around the breeze, too, that can affect it as well. But still, my question is, the type of force that was used to take this dude down, was that really necessary? It took two of y'all to take down one person. And y'all put him in a chokehold in a way to force him in handcuffs? Like, was this really necessary? What is your view on that, though, man?
I'm not too sure about the story that you're referring to in general, but, you know, and the story that you're referring to specifically, but in general, I've seen plenty of stories where, you know what I'm saying, God gets arrested. And or God gets stopped at a traffic stop, and it can kind of go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It can go where, you know what I'm saying, he actually gets stopped by a good Samaritan, you know what I'm saying, or a good police officer. Yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got you, bro. I got you. There's always in a situation where there's a bad one, I would say that these are usually people who abuse their power. Because they think just because they have a badge, it gives them the right to treat people however they want to treat them.
Right.
And it angers them when they come into contact with people who are just not going to let them do what they want to do simply because they have a badge. Mm-hmm. Just because you have a badge doesn't mean that you own my life, or you can tell me what to do any kind of way, or you can violate my rights as an American citizen, my rights as a person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's been plenty of situations where I've seen, or, you know what I'm saying, there's been plenty of videos and memes and things where I've seen traffic stops gone bad. Or, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, stop and frisk gone bad. People getting slammed to the ground because of a situation, whatever the case may be. I do believe that, you know what I'm saying, that police officers have a responsibility to protect and serve, and you not really protecting or serving anybody, you smashing their face into the concrete.
True.
You know what I'm saying? You claim that you're protecting yourself. You claim that this person is a threat to you. But like I said, you arrested you arrested a mass murderer and brought him in safely, you know what I'm saying, without any...
With food,
you know what I'm saying, without any incident. But an unarmed black man or unarmed, you know what I'm saying, or unarmed minority, you know what I'm saying, is somehow a threat to you.
Right.
Because they're intelligent. You know what I'm saying? Because they use common sense. Because they're not out here cursing and swearing and doing all of these things that bring black people down.
Yeah, like, you know, if they're not even acting.
I'm not any kind of racist. I have Caucasian friends. I have Asian friends. I have, you know what I'm saying? I have Hispanic friends. Like, I know these people. I love these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not sitting here trying to just down white people while we in here talking. I'm not some...
Yeah, it's not like that at all.
Black activist or anything like that. I'm just a person. You know what I'm saying?
Just expressing our thoughts.
I'm just a person expressing my thoughts and my views and, you know what I'm saying, the things that I've experienced in my life. Because, like I said, I grew up in Brooklyn, so I grew up around all different kinds of people. I lived in a neighborhood that was predominantly Hispanic. Most of my neighbors were Dominican. Most of the kids I went to school with were Puerto Rican and Dominican and Mexican. And, you know, I mean, a couple of white kids in there or whatever. But, you know, I grew up around all kinds of people. I've been to college for a few semesters, so I grew up around, you know what I'm saying, I spent time around different nationalities of people, getting to know people from different countries, different cultures, and things like that. So, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm too here trying to have a... I wasn't even paying attention this time.
Finally won one.
Sitting here getting deep into the conversation. My man just snuck up on me. Okay.
Yeah, like,
I say all that to say that, I say all that to say that it's not right what a lot of these unprofessional and just evil individuals who wear badges are doing to black people and people of color simply because they're racist, simply because they're bigots, simply because they want to abuse their power. But in some situations, if you sit there and watch the whole video, you sit there and learn the whole situation a lot, sometimes, I'm not gonna say all the time, don't sit here and quote me on this, don't sit here and say that I'm for police brutality or anything like that, but sometimes people put themselves in this situation. I'm saying that because there are situations where people get pulled over by the cops and they want to get smart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They want to tell the cop what they are and aren't going to do. They want to sit there and recite their rights to this person. And it's like you inciting, you know what I'm saying? It's like you already got this person that has a complex. You know what I'm saying? That feels like, that has a superiority complex. That feels like they're better than you. It feels like they're gonna treat you any kind of way. The last thing you want to do is give that person a reason.
Right.
Why you want to give them a reason to hate you? Why you want to give them a reason to want to snatch you out of your car? Why do you want to give them a reason to shoot you and you don't even have anything in your car? You might not have a gun, or you might have a permitted gun that's in your glove compartment. They told you to reach for your wallet. Now they shooting you. They're gonna be like, oh, he was reaching for his gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, Why would you even want to give them a reason? Why would you want to give them a reason to make you a statistic? You know what I'm saying? There's been plenty of traffic stops where I've been stopped a couple of times, mostly for speeding or something like that. Where a lot of times I was confronted by real, you know what I mean, nice officers who were just doing their job. Sometimes I got a ticket, sometimes I got a warning, and I got sent home. But I was always respectful. You know what I'm saying? Right. I know my rights. I wasn't going to sit there and let anybody treat me or talk to me any kind of way, but I was always respectful. I was always, you know what I'm saying, yes, sir, yes, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I always did what I needed to do to get home.
Right.
That's not to say you got to be Uncle Tom. That's not to say you got to be shoving and jiving or acting like a slave when you get pulled over or anything like that.
You're just following orders.
You know what I'm saying? You just follow your orders and you do what you got to do to get home. Why are you going to sit there and antagonize this racist with a gun?
True.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Speaking of getting pulled over, you know, I've been pulled over twice now, and like the first time I got pulled over again, it was like, well, it wasn't really for speeding, it was like for like a tag I had expired, but anyways, I got let off. Oh,
I was talking about a story.
Oh, but yeah, I got let off with a warning, and the second time I got pulled over, I was helping a friend of mine move, and we started kind of late anyway, moving to like their frontage or whatever, and we didn't get done till like 2 in the morning, I think. And so, you know, while I was getting in my car, I noticed like their patrol car too, because I know like in that area they patrol a lot. I'm not really gonna put the area out there like that. I'm not gonna put my friend out there either. But Like, the whole time, I'm, like, taking notes on what's happening here. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, so when I get in my car, I see y'all stop at the stop sign, but then back up. Why? So then, get in my car, and I always feel some type of way whenever police follow me anyway. So it's nothing, you know, against them. It's just my nerves just get, like, really shaky when it happens.
Yeah, I didn't shoot black people.
Exactly. So,
to be honest, not to cut your story off, but before, you know what I'm saying, all of these stories surfaced about the police killing black people, and before it became such a prominent thing, I never really got afraid when I seen police.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've never been afraid of a roadblock because I don't smoke. I don't smoke weed or anything like that. So all my papers are legit with my vehicle in my name, all my insurance and everything is good. So I've never been nervous around roadblocks. I've never been nervous around anything like that. But once I looked at the news and seen that police are around here killing black men for no reason, I became scared. I get nervous when cops pull up behind me now. I get nervous when I get pulled over. Like I said, at the end of the day, I'm trying to make it home.
Right, that's all.
I'm not worried about, you know what I'm saying, I'm not worried about this cop talking to me crazy or looking at me crazy or doing anything like that. Because like I said, if I get pulled over, my papers is legit. I'm going to hand him my license. I'm going to hand him my registration. I'm like, look, you going to give me my speeding ticket or you going to, what's up?
Right.
You know, you going to give me my speeding ticket or you going to let me go? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or if I get stopped at a roadblock or something like that, just showing my ID, what y'all got going on? Or we looking for somebody who's matches the description. Well, do I look like him?
Right.
I mean, I got my work uniform on and everything. Like, can I go home? You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing nothing crazy out here in these streets. But it's just a simple fact that, like I said, I became scared once I've seen that they started killing innocent black people for no reason. That's when I became afraid. That's when it became an issue for me.
Yeah. And but yeah, back to the story. So, you know, I get in my car, driving on the road, and again, I can't really go too fast down this road anyway because I got a speed limit, right? So I'm getting about good ways down the road, and, like, and I'm noticing him still behind me. He's like, okay, well, maybe we both going to the same place, whatever, right? Maybe we both going to the same place, all right? So a couple of minutes go by, and then he flashes me to pull over. So I'm thinking to myself, like, what could I have done to get pulled over right now? So he gets out of his car. It was just one officer so far. Gets out of the car, comes to my passenger window, and asked for, like, for my ID and all this. And he asked me, like, what was I doing coming out of that, you know, house at this time of night or whatever. I'm like, just helping a friend move. And so he's like, do you have that friend's name and number with you? I was like, yeah, I have their name and number. And he said, well, call them right now so we can verify that. So I'm like, why is all this necessary exactly? In my mind, I'm saying this. And the whole time, like, he told me himself, like, well, you weren't speeding or anything. You was just, you know, doing this or whatever. I'm like, okay, if I wasn't speeding nor causing a disturbance, why exactly did you pull me over? So he had me call my friend, verify that I was there helping him move or whatever. And then after that, he said, the reason why we pulled you over because you came at that house this time of night. It looked kind of suspicious. So I'm like, so you really just pulled me over for just walking out of someone's house? Really? Really? Out of all things? You just said I wasn't speeding at all. So that dare should have just raised no suspicion at all.
Yeah.
And, like, they let me in the house. I didn't walk in there on my own. I did not walk out in a really questionable, you know, thing.
Yeah, you ain't walk out with a bunch of bags in your hand like you just robbed the house or anything.
Right, I just came out as me. So I really just let that move go.
Yeah.
I
seen you setting it up over here, too. You would have had four in a row this way.
Right.
If I'd have blocked it, you'd have had four in a row that way. So I tried to create a distraction over here. You were going over there, but you were still going and doing your thing. So
damn.
Go ahead and take advantage.
But, yeah, with that whole situation there, it's like, I feel like I kind of got racially profiled in a way because, like I said, we've been having, like, a lot of break-ins or whatever. I'm like, okay, if that's the case, still, why did you pull me over if you knew I wasn't speeding exactly? So at that point, I didn't get no bullet in my ass, nor did I get beaten. So I was just happy to walk away with that W, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's always a W. You make it home alive, brother.
Mm-hmm.
People think that it's a W if you humiliate the cop, or it's a W if you prove him wrong or anything like that. Well, it's a W if you make it home.
Yeah, right. And then, like, when I was telling my friend about it, they were saying, like, you should really, like, you know, get that cop's information or whatever, or try to report him. I'm like, honestly, what would that do? Because all he's going to get is a slap on the wrist and get right back on the force. There's nothing I can say nor do at this point. We just let it go. I mean, I got to accept the fact I was blessed to make it home. So, I mean, that I'll be forever stuck with that whole encounter. But at the end of the day, I can say I made it home. So, me trying to report this dude is not going to do anything, because he's just going to still continue to do him. And I'm pretty sure they wouldn't even take my side anyway. So, it'll be brushed under the rug regardless, in my opinion. But that's how things roll, apparently. That's how things roll.
You got to remember, we in the South, too, so.
Right.
A lot of racist activity going on out here.
Mm-hmm. But, usually around this time, I like to give my guests an opportunity to talk about whatever they have going on or any kind of specific topic they would like to talk about on our good old segment called Free Talk. So, Mel, is there anything you want to state, get off your chest, anything you want to promote, whatever you got going on?
Let me see. Free Talk. You know what? You was telling me about this podcast and everything. A part of me told me to go home and do some homework. That way I could have something to talk about when I got here. But then I forgot. You know what I'm saying? I honestly don't have anything in particular that I want to talk about or anything. Let me think. There's a lot going on right now. You know what I'm saying? A lot with me, but I don't really want to get into my own personal BS or whatever. But there's a lot going on with the world and in this climate. It's a lot going on with music. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot going on in the world. Let me see what I feel like talking about at the moment. I don't know. I guess we could do like a Q&A type thing. Like, ask me a couple questions and I'll give you my opinions on them, I guess.
Okay. Well, all right. Throughout what we've been talking about, you know, throughout the whole relationship and racial situation, has any of those, like, moments ever, like occurred in your lifetime? Or have you ever seen someone in that same scenario situation? Like, with the whole, like, it can be a lot from the whole relationship thing we're talking about, or, like, to just recently with the police and stuff?
Well, I've never personally been a witness to abuse, especially not when it comes to a female, because that's just something I don't play with. Like, I got a mom and four sisters, so if I ever seen a man putting his hands on a woman, I feel like I'd have to be, you know what I'm saying, I'd have to interject, just me as a man. Even if I didn't know the situation fully, of course I'd peep the situation. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure the guy ain't got no gun or anything like that. I'm not about to get blasted for not minding my own business.
Right.
You feel me? But but at the same time, it's like certain things I just can't let rock. So, you know what I'm saying? But I have been a good friend and a listening ear to someone who was in an abusive relationship or in a bad relationship where things didn't go their way, things went bad. You know what I'm saying? And to that, I would say what I said earlier, which is, you know what I'm saying, abuse is never right. You know what I'm saying? There's always different ways. There's always different ways to handle those type of situations. You got to have strong communication skills. You got to know how to talk to people. You got to know how to deal with your own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
God damn.
You gotta know how to talk. You gotta know how to deal with your own issues before you can deal with other people. But I did have a friend who was in an abusive relationship, and I told them that they should get out. I told them that, you know what I'm saying, if this person is doing all of this to you, why do you want to be with them in the first place?
Yeah, they always
love them, but they obviously don't love you. I feel like abuse is not love.
Right.
If you love someone, you wouldn't put your hands on them. If you love someone, you wouldn't want to cause them any kind of pain.
Right.
Physical, emotional, spiritual, anything like that. So, being that that was happening to a personal friend of mine, you know what I'm saying, it was hitting home. And it got to the point where that person chose not to leave that individual alone, and they chose to continue to deal with them. So I just kind of distanced myself from the person because it's like, I didn't want to keep seeing them go through that pain.
Yeah, and like, plus you didn't already said your piece.
Yeah,
so.
I already said my piece. It's like, people gonna do what they want to do, man.
Right. You can't control them. Exactly. So, you know, they just, sometimes you just gotta, they just gotta learn from their own mistakes. And better still, though, it's a shame that, you know, they still with that person. But at the end, you gotta make the move yourself to distance yourself from that situation. Regardless, if you're tired of going through this and you want to just get up and leave, then just do that, or just be smart about it too, at least. But like, by being smart, I mean like, have a get out plan ready. So like, when you're officially done with this person, you can just jet right there. Right. But on the real, if any female is going through that, please seek help immediately. We do not want to see y'all beautiful queens continue to go through this.
I don't want to see my friends in the morgue. I don't want to see my friends. You know what I'm saying?
Because think about that damage that'll do to an individual seeing someone you know in a situation in that relationship.
A lot of times there's kids involved in the situation. So that could be a deciding factor. Like, the friend that I'm referring to, she had children by the person. You know what I'm saying? This was their baby daddy, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But even if you got children by that person, just because y'all made a child together doesn't necessarily mean that that person wants to be with you.
And I just fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's Connect Five in that bitch.
It doesn't mean that that person deserves to be with you. Just because y'all have children together, just because you feel like, you know what I'm saying, that child is going to make that person stick around, or that child is going to make that person be with you. Like, I know a few people who have deadbeat fathers.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
a few times over. I know a few people, you know what I mean, people I grew up with or people I became friends with over time, and they dealt with a deadbeat guy, you know what I mean, had a child by him, he was a deadbeat, but because they had a child by that person, they allowed that person to still come back in their lives, had another child by him, he was a deadbeat again, but because now they've got two children together, they feel like they have an even stronger connection, stayed with him, had another child, guy was a deadbeat again. Why would you continue to have children by a deadbeat? Why would you continue to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't even love your children enough to want to be in their lives and do what they're supposed to do?
Right.
They claim they love you, so you want them to stick around. Or you want them to be around, to be a family. They not being a family if they don't want to take care of their kids. Come on now.
Yeah, you're going to be just like old dude from Dance Flick. Literally just came to pick up his son, pick him up, and put him back down. And then just... people are going to make their life choices, and there's not much you can do with that. It's like, I just wondered, like, for years, anybody that I've seen my friends with, they kept getting, like, on and off relationships. Like, not even, like, abusive, just, like, on and off relationships in general. They'll keep going back to that same person. Why exactly? What did this person have for you to continue to go back and go through this same cycle again?
A lot of times it's good pussy or good vagina. You know what I'm saying? I've never been in that situation. I've only had one situation where after I broke up with an ex, I dealt with them a little bit after the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it didn't last very long. It was on some shit where I would still come through and smash. And then, you know what I'm saying? They said something one time that kind of pissed me off. Like, one time we were hooking up, and they said that, this was a female, by the way, don't think I'm gay or anything like that.
Yeah,
okay. I'm straight, so when I say they, I'm just trying to hide the girl's identity. I'm not saying it could be a guy or a girl, it's definitely a girl, but, anyways, the female I was dealing with, you know what I'm saying, we broke up, but I still kept coming through to smash, you know what I'm saying, she still let me stay around for a little while, but she said something while we were hooking up one time that just, you know what I'm saying, that just ended it for me. It made it not even cool anymore. Like, one time we were hooking up and we were doing whatever, and she was like, well, my boyfriend's being a bad boyfriend anyway right now, so we can keep doing this, it's cool. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I was with you.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you was mad at me, or every time, you know, some things weren't going well between us, was you out here cheating on me? I mean, which she was. That's why. That's the main reason we broke up. But so like, every time you was mad at me, was you just out here smashing random niggas or smashing exes or whatever the case may be? Because that's what you doing to this nigga right now. You sitting here letting me hit because your boyfriend, because you mad at your boyfriend.
So she was just trying to find that feel good. Yeah, like, she was just trying to find that feel good dick at the time.
Exactly. So. A lot of the times it got to do with penis or good vagina, whatever the case may be. Mm. Why people stick around to their exes and stuff like that. But it shouldn't be that way.
Nah.
So we should all be... Once you get to a certain point in your life, because I'm 30 years old, I feel like I done got to the point in my life where I'm mature enough to say, yeah, you look good. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, this female looks good. Yeah, she's attractive physically or whatever the case may be. But what you got going on upstairs? What's your mental state like? You know what I'm saying? How your mental health doing? You know what I'm saying? Are you emotionally, you know what I'm saying? Am I emotionally attracted to you? You know what I'm saying? Am I intellectually attracted to you? Are you even smart? Like, do you know the difference between the three theirs? You know what I'm saying? That's the type of shit I look for nowadays. You know
or the three twos. Do you know the difference between twos?
Come on now.
But y'all heard it here. See? Even on this podcast, we can be on some real shit at times. Y'all see how we was today. And right quick, I just want to give a shout out to my co-host who unfortunately cannot make it with us today, Miss Mentonic. Sorry you couldn't be here with us today, but you know you was in here in spirit. So hopefully we can see you back here soon. You already know what it is. Y'all know how to follow me on my platform. You can follow me on Instagram at Another Black Comedian. And do you want them to follow you on Instagram as well, though, Mel? Or just...
Instagram is Ja_Melly. Facebook is Ja_Melly Herndon. I guess that's all I got. I don't be on Snapchat or anything like that anymore. I'm pretty boring with my life nowadays. I just get up there to look at funny pictures, funny memes, watch a couple funny videos or anything like that. I don't do too much. I just like to live life. Every now and again, I'll post a picture or a video or something like that, or where I've been, experiences I've had. Most of the time is with you and your family. You know when me and your brothers get together and you... Connect 4. Just killing.
Damn, I thought I had it too, though. That's what I thought I had.
Just killing. But, Ja_Melly on Instagram. Ja_Melly Herndon on Facebook. If you want to like or follow a real person, you know what I'm saying? Get to know me a little bit. I am taken, so I'm not looking for a girl or nothing like that. But if you just want to talk or just, you know what I mean, go on my page, check out a couple of memes, get a laugh or something like that, look me up.
Yeah, all right, y'all heard it from him best. And again, shout out to my co-host, Miss Mentona, who cannot be here with us today, but hopefully we'll help to see her soon on the next one. Y'all know what to do.
This, bro. We got this little dial here that's supposed to keep track of the number of wins.
Yeah, we went over that amount.
we played like 10, 12 times. I think I beat you more than 10 times.
Right? Yeah, I had that one win in, though.
I got one win in.
I
think it's safe to say.
Yeah, but all right. Y'all heard it best until the next one. Also, right quick, just so y'all know, the next episode I'm going to do will be live on both Instagram and Facebook, but it's going to be breaking up because you know you can only be live for so long on either page. So, the next episode, because I told y'all I'm going to do 2 episodes to make up for the episode I didn't do last week. So, be sure to tune in live on, I'm going to do live on Instagram first. So be sure to tune in live on that as well. And we're going to give the guest, whoever it is on the live, we're going to give them time to, you know, tell us or ask us questions, ask us what we want to talk about or whatever. So until the next time, I hope y'all been full with y'all serving of this grilled cheese podcast. And hope to see y'all on the next one. All right. Peace.